I've written on the board, have to, need to, love to. And really, if you want to title the message for your own benefit or maybe notes that you take home, title of the message would be Attitude Adjustment. I'm going to give some experiences that I've had as a child, as a teenager, as an adult. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, in the 6th verse, a very important scripture that we live by and we practice, and I'm thankful for it. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm going to start out with, when you're a child and you're raised in a godly home, in an active godly home, when Sunday morning rolls around, you go to church. When Sunday night rolls around, you go to church. When Wednesday night rolls around, you go to church. And I remember being tired of going to church. But I was a child, and I didn't have a choice. My parents made me go to church. And then when you get into adolescent years, there are some times that it's a joy. Then there's times that you're trying to sort things out in your mind and it's boring. But we have to go to church. We have to go to church. But I'm a child. I don't have choices. So I have to go to church. Then as you're sorting things out, maybe in your teenage years, you realize that there is a need. And you understand it's really in your adolescent years. Those years are such a hard time. From the time you're 12 to 16, the time you're driving, I'm going to say, you're trying to figure yourself out. And it's not easy to do. You're trying to figure life out. And you know, coupled on top of that is, that's usually about the time you start making decisions to serve the Lord. That's usually about the time you start deciding whether you're going to consecrate your life to Him. It's a very important time. So you start seeing the need when, as a child, I had to obey. But then I saw the need to obey. And I come to an altar of prayer and I see the need for my salvation. And I get that taken care of. Then as you journey on into life, something happens. And you start loving it. And it changes everything. Sunday morning rolls around. I'm going to church. I love going. Sunday night rolls around. I'm going to church because I love going. Wednesday night rolls around. I'm going to church because I love going. It becomes different. That train up a child in the way he should go, it starts up as training. That's just one aspect. There's so many aspects in a childhood's, in your childhood life that you're being trained to do. You're being trained not to do this. You're being trained to do this. You're being trained to do that. And those things sometimes are grievous, and sometimes you don't want to. And sometimes you see the need to. And I will do it because you told me to do it, but I don't like doing it. But when you come to a point you like doing it, it changes everything. And I'm thankful for that. I felt the need that I had to have salvation. But when I come to the point that I love my salvation, it has transformed my life. And I'm thankful for it. Jonah had an experience somewhat like this. So I'd like you to read with me in the first chapter, first verse of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah had a have-to experience. He had a need-to experience. And when he got down in the belly of the whale, he understood that there was a cry going out. I think the belly of the whale could have been a place for him to die, too. But the Lord permitted him to live because he had a love for the souls at Nineveh. And Jonah went and preached to them. But there is an error, perhaps not an error, a missing part. And that was the love to part. I really think this book of Jonah could have been so many more chapters and such a greater blessing if Jonah had got to the love to part. But that was really a missing part. He didn't love to. If you remember, when there wasn't any damnation pronounced or experienced by the people, he muttered about that. Remember that? He didn't have a love to. It changed something. He had the have to and the need to, but he didn't get down to that love to. And the Lord is calling us today to come to the love to. It can make a difference in your laundry. I speak to you from a homemaker. I love to take care of my family. But there are times in a woman's life when she sees the have to. I have to do laundry, or we won't have clothes to wear, or they'll be dirty when we wear them. I see the need to do laundry. The piles are there. But when I love to do laundry, it changes the whole scope of things. I love to see it go in the washer that has been provided for me by the loving hand of a God who cares about me. That may seem silly to you, but it is our life. I love the thought that I'm hanging up clothes for a family. I've been blessed with children. I've been blessed with clothes. I've been blessed. I don't have to go to a creek on a rub board. I'm blessed. It changes everything. I'm just doing this on a surface level, but we are going to get deeper. I would like to go to Luke, the 10th chapter, and the 38th verse. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She got to have Jesus at her house. He got to see her beautiful house. He got to eat at her beautiful house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, we're going to stop right there. Martha was cumbered about much serving. I'm going to ask you, have you ever been in a home where they had to serve you supper? Time was drawing near. You hadn't gone home yet, and it's supper time. Well, we'll serve you supper. But they had to. There was a need to. And it's a little bit awkward. You almost want to say, that's fine, I think I'm going home. After all. Because the welcome mat sometimes gets pulled in. I have to serve you. I need to serve you. So here's supper. Have you ever been in a home when you walked in the door? They loved serving you. The food tasted awesome. And they couldn't do enough for you. And when the dinner was over, the conversation was so easy because they welcomed you in their home. See the difference in that? Martha had a problem. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. I can see two women doing this. I can see Martha so clearly. She's in there fixing pot roast potatoes and carrots and hot rolls and a delightful dessert. And she's busy and she peeks around. And there's Mary doing nothing. Doing nothing. Just sitting at Jesus' feet. And here she's peeling another potato. She peeks around and she's still doing nothing. I'm going to tell you, the place that Martha had, it was Martha's house. The place that Mary had, it was Mary's ability to sit at Jesus' feet. There wouldn't have been wrong with the pot roast and potatoes and the carrots if Martha had loved doing it. Does that make sense? Jesus is at my house. I have to serve him a good meal. I need to serve him a good meal. But if she could have just said, I'm serving Jesus. I'm going to make some gravy. I love him. I want to give him the very best that I have. Mary gets to sit at his feet, so be it. But I get to serve him a meal. I get to serve him at my house. The Son of God has come to my house, and I love doing it. See how that could have been different? Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha could have chosen that good part too. She could have. She could have even done it as she was serving the Lord. I'd like to go to Romans now, the 13th chapter. And the 9th verse, Romans 13 and 9. Says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, we have a commission. When I become a child, a born-again child of God, I have to love my neighbor. I have to. I need to love my neighbor. Why? Because Jesus loves him and made them. He loves me too. But what happens when you love loving your neighbor? It changes the whole spectrum. I love washing their feet. Do you realize when Jesus, on that Last Supper, and he got down on his hands and knees, he could have as easily said, folks, I would like you to see how a king sits on his throne. Here's the chair, and I'm going to demonstrate how you sit. Why? Because he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what did he do? He got a basin of water, and he took on him a form of a servant. And why did he do that? Because he loved doing it. When we wash the saints' feet, physically, when we have our ordinance service, it's a broken time because we love serving one another. That is the commandment, that when you love doing it, it ceases to be harsh. All these other commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. If I love you, I'm not going to defraud you of your husband. See that? If I love you, I'm not going to kill you, obviously. If I love you, I'm not going to steal from you. If I love you, I'm not going to lie about you to other people. If I love you, I'm not going to covet the things that the Lord has blessed you with. Now, these are all thou shalt, so you can see the need. I have to do these things. I need to do these things, but when you love doing them, if you ever want to take some time to research, David was a man after God's own heart. Read 119 Psalms and write down how many times He loved the precepts of the Lord. He loved the statutes of the Lord. He loved the commandments. Write down every time there's all those things said. It's over and over again. I praise thee, Lord, because he understood that those were not things just because I'm a big God and you're a little human and you're going to obey me no matter what. Those things were to protect us. And when you love doing them, David had the right spirit. He loved the commandments. He didn't chafe under them and say, oh, here we go again. That one again. He loved the precepts of the Lord. He understood the ways, the paths. And when you study that whole, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's beautiful. All the love that he put into that. That's what the Lord is wanting out of us. Well, as a little girl going to school, one of the first questions you are asked is, why do you wear dresses all the time? And when you're a little girl, you're not sure why you did either. Mama makes me. And that was kind of my answer. My mama and daddy make me wear dresses. So they're looking at you thinking, ooh, I'm glad I don't have your mama and daddy. Because I had to. I was being nurtured and raised, and I appreciate that, under the admonition of the Lord. Then I became to that age where you're sorting all of that out, and you're understanding, I understand why. A girl needs to dress as a girl. The restroom signs are still appropriate. I've often wondered if they think about that. I understand that. I need that. I understand the need for it. So if you will go with me to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And the 2nd verse. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. After this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. See how far that reaches, modest apparel? I understood that a woman is not to wear a man's garment. That's in the Deuteronomy. So I started understanding those, and I saw the need for those things. And applied that to my life in a diligent manner. And when they would come with their questions, I had answers then. In Deuteronomy, it says, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Do you know people are shocked by that? I didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, it is. And I want to live that way. Yes. And modest apparel means a covering. But when I came to an age that I love it, and when people ask me now, I'm glad. I'm glad you asked me. Now, I couldn't have said that all the time. Because I was in the have to and the need to stage. But when I came to the love to stage, I have been asked now, even as an adult, and I said, I'm glad you ask. Let me tell you why. And it's a beautiful thing when you can walk up to a man of the church, of the world, and they can look you in the eye and there be an honest conversation. I feel sorry for men. I'm glad I'm a woman. They're having to avert their eyes. They can't look at you. Or if they do, it's in a lustful manner. If you're dressed in a lustful way. Yes. The Lord provided that for a blessed comfort zone. And I love it. I love dressing like a woman. I love those precepts. It changed for me when I loved it. That's just a small part I want to delve into. It said it would spill over into being in subjection to your own husband. Now we're getting sticky, aren't we? Do you love being in subjection to your husband? I have to be in subjection to my husband. That's what the scripture says. I need to be in subjection to my husband because that's what the scripture says. But I'm telling you, when you love being in subjection to your husband, it changes the whole melody of your life. And I thank the Lord for it. It's a beautiful pattern. Husbands, it said to love your wives. When you make that marriage vow, you have to love them now. You need to love them now. But when you love to love them, it changes your marriage. It makes it beautiful. I know sometimes my husband says, well, you have to love me. And I said, no, I don't. That marriage certificate can be torn up. But I love you. And it doesn't change. And I'm so thankful I get to do that. It's a blessing. I think of a homemaker serving her family. I have to. Because that is a commandment to be a keeper of the home. I need to. Who's going to take care of my children if I don't? There are other helping hands, but a mom is still the best mom in a home. But when you love serving your family, it changes cleaning the house. See what I'm saying? Yes, I have to clean the house. Yes, I need to clean the house. But when I love cleaning the house, it'll be a clean house. Because I love it. I love thy precepts. There were those boundaries that were put in place, and they're beautiful. Sister Rosie gave a wonderful lesson yesterday on the beauty of a family. It works. It works. The Lord patterned the church after a family. It's beautiful. It is beautiful, and I love it. The Lord gave a parable, and it was about the 5 talents. The 2 talents and the 1 talent. You remember the 1 talent? He buried it. He was embarrassed. I just have 1 little talent. But it's because he was in a have to, need to situation. I have a talent. I need to do something with it. But I don't love it. So he buried it. Now, how wonderful would that have been if when the 5 came back and gained 5 more, and the 2 gained, what, 5 more, or whatever that was. What if the 1 came back and gained 100 more? Wouldn't that have just been great? He could have, but he didn't love it. He didn't value it. When we serve the Lord, we're going to be in different places. Mary got to sit at Jesus' feet. Martha got to serve. Mary loved sitting at Jesus' feet because that was her opportunity. Martha didn't love the service. The Lord puts us all in different places. And sometimes it's just a menial task. Yes, I will do that because I have to do that. I will do that because it needs to be done. But when you love doing that, it changes everything. Well, Malachi talks about something pretty close to our heart, unfortunately, money. Malachi, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'm going to challenge you here. We give because we have to give. The Lord told us to give. We give because we need to give. When they in the old had the crops that were coming in, they were to give 10%. It's not such a hard thing. But we have people that want to hold on to that. Why? Because don't tell me how to do with my money. Don't tell me what I need to do with my money. Do you know the Lord graciously gave you that? Just like He gave me laundry. When He graciously gives it, then yes, I have to give back to Him. I need to give back to Him. But I love giving back to Him. And when you put that love mixture in there, this is where the Lord says, you just try to outgive me and see what happens to you. There are some people who like to give with the thought in mind, well, He's going to shower me with blessings, so I'll get more and more and more. But that's not the point. The point is, you just try to prove me now herewith, He says, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. And you know what it comes from? Loving to do it. I love to give to you. I love the service that you have placed in my hands. Whatever it's, if it's peeling a potato, if it's washing clothes, I love doing it for you, Lord. And it changes the whole idea. Forgiveness. Do you love to forgive? That's a hard one, isn't it? I've thought of forgiveness because I've had to battle it in my own life. Forgiveness, I'm going to give a little demonstration here. Illustration, if you will listen. The deed has already been done. And your lack of forgiveness is like a balloon tied to your hand. Not very heavy. It doesn't hold a lot of air. But usually when there's one trespass against you, there's more than one. So you get more than one tied around your hand. And I don't know if you've ever had 8 balloons tied to your hand. Just imagine that. You get in the car, open the door, and the wind starts chasing those balloons around, and you're trying to stick them all in because they're attached to you. They're pretty weightless. They don't really cost a lot of time, but they're a nuisance. Your lack of forgiveness is a nuisance to you. It is a hindrance. It really is. But the deed's already done. I have to forgive them because the Lord forgave me. Yes, I need to forgive them because that's what the Bible tells me to do. So you go down the road and you're driving and you can't see out the rearview mirror because of all the balloons. And you get out of the car and you converse and sit down and converse with somebody. And you know it's not long till you're telling them, enumerating what each one of those balloons represent. Yeah, I hold these balloons. You know, I've forgiven them, but they did hurt me deeply. And I want you to know what they did, and here's a recording of it. And do you know people know when you carry around unforgiveness? It doesn't take long in a conversation for them to realize they haven't really fully gotten there yet. I can see the balloons. You try to eat something, and there's those balloons popping around all over around your head. Try to sleep at night with the balloons just, you know, it doesn't lift your arm, but you kind of get that sensation, and they're a nuisance. But when you love to forgive, yes. Do you know what? Forgiveness means you're releasing them for what you think they need to do. A lot of people think that forgiveness means I have condoned what they've done. No. You're releasing them from your judgment. That's what you're doing. So the grace of God, when you love to do it, you'll get His grace and snip those cords. And you can watch them go. And eventually they'll disappear and they'll be gone out of your life. Praise the Lord. But it only becomes possible when you love to do it. I love forgiving you. I love not holding on to that thing anymore. I love not holding it against you. There's such a freedom in that. I can drive down the road. I can see out the rearview mirror. Don't have those balloons anymore. I thank the Lord for that. Peter had some issues. If you'll turn with me to John, the 21st chapter. But he was overcoming some of those issues. But Jesus was helping him to overcome them too. John, the 21st chapter, it says in the 15th verse. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Are you going to serve me because you have to serve me? You know, when he commissioned them to follow me and I will make you fishers of men, they followed him. They felt that need. They felt that have to. But it didn't hold them when they were in the garden. Because Peter had not gone on to the love to part. But he wept bitterly. And Jesus is calling it out to him. So he's going to this have to part. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You knowest I have to love you because you love me. He saith unto me, him, feed my lambs. I have to feed the lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, you need to feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. The first one is, you have to feed my lambs. Now when you need to feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved. It's because Jesus was getting to the heart of the matter in Peter's life. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love, here we go, I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, then love feeding my sheep. Don't do it just because it's a commission. Don't do it because you just see the need. Do it because you love serving me. Do it because you love the precepts and the commandments as King David did. I love King David and all of his beautiful words. He was such a poet. He was such an intelligent man. And he loved the precepts of the Lord and the commandments of the Lord because they're not grievous. They are not. If you love it. Brother B.E. Warren wrote a song that says somewhat the same thing. It says, I love to serve my Jesus, a privilege so sublime. My life afresh with beauty bright is sparkling all the time. Mid scenes that are unfading of rapture and of bliss, transported I am soaring in my Savior's righteousness. I desire you pray for me.